day that we recognize is past us now, the attitude and the heart should stay with us, in particular through the season. So let's pray together. God, I just want to say thank you today for your grace and your love to us. Thank you, Lord, for the incredible worship. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us everything that we need. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open today. Let our hearts be open today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. I just want to share this thought with you, and I talked about this last week just a little bit. If you have your Bible and you want to open it up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul was speaking to this young New Testament church, Thessalonica, and he was communicating something to them that they needed to hear, and we still need to hear it today. And to be a consistent servant of Christ, we're going to have to make decisions that aren't going to just affect us for right now. You know, because the reality, anybody can do what's right in a short period of time or for a season, but God is looking for you and I to do what's right for now on. And sometimes we get off course a little bit. Sometimes we forget who we are and who we've been called to be. But I believe God calls us back to this. And he says in verse 15, 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong. New King James and King James, I believe, says evil for evil. But he says, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. What a difference in the culture that we live in, where people think that if somebody does something wrong or bad to me, that's our calling, we're going to get them back. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. I'm going to hit you harder. But the reality of it is, if we're going to live a Christ-like life, we're going to live with a consistency of not trying to devise a way to get other people back. I had a lady come up to me on the way out of earlier service, and she said, I did this little video. I was actually sitting in the parking lot of Target yesterday on my way in to get another latte. And I told Patty, I said, honey, I'm going to make this little video. I've been feeling about it all day. And she came up. She said, I saw your video. I heard it. I was making plans to get somebody back, and I was convicted, so I came to church this morning. You can make plans in your mind, even to repay somebody back for something that they did wrong for you. But can I encourage you today that when you do that, you create a dynamic in your life that you live under for the rest of your life. And God tells you and I to have an attitude not to pay back evil, to pay back wrong for wrong. But this is what he says for you and I to do. He says to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life. That when I rejoice, and the word rejoice there means to be cheerful, it means to recognize that I am well off, and it means to know that life could be much worse than what I could ever imagine it could be. I am to rejoice in that moment. He says next, he said to pray continually, or one translation says without ceasing. And when we pray like that, we direct our worship to God and our needs towards God, and we are not dependent on another. So many times we get caught up in, you know, this one does that and that one said this, and I'm hoping this one will do this. And when it doesn't come to fruition in our lives, we get upset, we get angry, and then we completely take our attention off of what God wants to do in our lives, and we put it on this other source that was never supposed to be the source that we are to look to. God says, rejoice, pray, and then he says, in everything, always give thanks for every circumstance in your life. Don't give thanks for it, but in the middle of it, create a posture that you can come away from whatever it is that you're going through. You can rejoice in the Lord. You can pray. You can direct your worship to God. And in the middle of that, you can begin to give thanks because God has been good to you and I. Amen? Come on today. I said God has been good to you and I. And Paul says that when we do that, something changes in our lives. That in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of the war that we seem to be in the middle of the challenge, the misunderstanding, the hurt, and for some, you may be in a place of crying, that you've been pushed back, pushed down, something negative has happened to you. I know what that feels like. You want to cry. You don't want to praise. You don't want to pray. You don't want to rejoice. Forget it. I don't want anything to do with it. I want to sit down in a corner. I want to pull a blanket over my life. I want to cry. And God says, but in the middle of that, if you'll pause, if you'll present yourselves to the Lord, if you'll engage in rejoicing, you don't have to start off big like this morning, but you can start small. God, thank you. I don't like what I'm feeling. I don't like the experience that I'm in, but Lord, thank you. Lord, I give you thanks, Lord. And when you begin to pray and come into that place of connection with God Himself, your circumstances begin to turn around in your life. Come on, can you say amen to that? You are good to me, God. It may not even look like it at that moment right now. It may not even seem, but when you begin to engage in that, the perfect will of God for your life is revealed to you and I. And we discover such beautiful things and a deeper understanding of why it is we even went through what we went through. And Paul says again to the Romans in Romans 8, 28, he says, and we know that all things, we know. Why do we know that? That all things work together for the good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He may be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He called. There is a predestination on your life. That's a whole nother, that's a lesson in and of itself. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He justified. Who He justified, He glorified. The word justified means to declare, to pronounce one to be just or just how they should be. You get home today, you flash yourself up in the mirror and you say, you're exactly who you are to be. You're going to develop into more and more with God, but right now, you are who God, that's what it means to be justified. The word glorified in the Greek says, means to have a great opinion of, to hold in honor, to make renown and to render into excellence. God says He's done that for you and I. He's justified you. He's made you just the way you are. He's glorified you, and He's going to make you renowned and excellent. That may be different than what you think it means right now. But I'm going to tell you, when God says that about you, and then He goes on in verse 31, what shall we say in response to these things? What more could you say? He said, if God is for you and I, what in the world could be against you today? Whoo, man, I feel that right now. God is calling some of you during this season, the end of 2018, entering into 2019. He's calling you into a year to dream bigger and to expand what you think is possible in your life. He's calling you and I to let go of some things that have been like an anchor in our lives, holding us down, holding us back, and to experience what He has for us to its fullest extent. If God be for you and I, who can be against us? Verse 32, He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up freely for us all. How will He not along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, shall persecution, shall famine, nakedness, danger, or sword, and it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Come on, I'm looking at some conquerors today. I'm not only looking at conquerors, I'm looking at more than conquerors. And then he ends it. He says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, can you clap your hands for that today? So how can I begin? What do I have to do? For some of us, it's making a turn in our lives. We've lived one way and we've practiced one way so long. Sometimes we got to make a turn. We got to create a new pathway in our lives. Number one, learn to just aim for love. Let love, 1 Corinthians 14:1, let love be your highest aim. Learn to love people, love yourself, love God. Learn to wrap love around whatever challenge it is that you're dealing with. You got to work with somebody that's hard to work with. You got to live with somebody that's hard to work with. What if you made love your highest aim and you wrapped love around that situation? You're going to be a giver of thanks. You're going to need to have love be a guiding place in your life. Second, thanksgivers, they're builders. People that are giving thanks are always building, not just themselves, but they're building others. They're never tearing down. Our tongue should never be used to tear other people down. I didn't get many amens on this in the other church this morning either. Because when it is used for that, it becomes habitual, and it can have the propensity to take on a life of its own. The more negative that comes out of your mouth, the more seeds you sow into that, and the more you become like that. Life and death, the Bible says, are in the power of the tongue. Is what you're saying building and creating, or is it tearing down? And I wonder if we were to record the last 48 hours of the words that came out of your mouth, what you would be building with those words. Jesus said, out of the good heart, the good treasure comes, creates good. Out of the evil treasure of the heart, creates evil. You and I need to be builders. We need to be encouragers. We need to be strengthening others around us. Believe in God. We need to start in our homes, with our families, with our children, with the ones that we love, in the circle of our lives, to tell one another, hey, you are important. You mean something to me. You are a blessing. You're incredibly gifted and talented. Tell your kids. Believe God with them. Ephesians 4:29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Do you see that up on the screen? Do not let, not some, any. What is that? What does that word any mean? Any. None. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs that may benefit those who listen. The words that you speak, they are going forth into the receptacles of others' lives and will have the ability to build up or to tear them down. Sometimes, the older that I'm getting, I'm discovering that words that sometimes we are used to saying, we don't even realize they are hurting and they are tearing down. How about words that you even speak over your own life? How about words that you say about yourself and about your future, about who you are as a man or a woman or a child of God? The Bible says, don't let those unwholesome words. I want to encourage you today to begin to speak words that build only. You know, my mother used to say to me when I was a little boy, she said, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Did anybody ever else hear that when they were little? Good boys. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Yeah, Pastor, I don't want to do that because I don't want anybody to get too big of a head. That's not your problem or mine. You let God deal with that. Be a builder. And then last, thanksgivers, people that give thanks, that are givers in this time, in this season of year. We are thankful people that give. We are always going to help others to win. We're going to be in people's lives. We're going to help them succeed. We're going to help them become what they can become. We're going to use our gifts and talents that maybe they're not good at. We're going to share with them. And you know, sometimes it doesn't take a lot. All it takes is a little. I said this earlier when I was on the farm years ago. My father-in-law, he'd go out with a tractor and he'd get stuck and he'd come back. I'd say, okay, how bad is it? He said, if I had the tail of a tomcat that would pull on me, I'd get out. You know what? As funny as that sounds, that's sometimes all somebody needs in their life. Just a little bit of a pull. Who could you help to win this season? And I'm not talking about going out buying somebody gifts that they'll throw away later on. I'm talking about maybe words. Maybe sowing something into somebody's life. Telling somebody they can't believe that they can. Tell them, you can do this. You got this. Man, I thank God for the people that spoke to my life when I was flatter than a pancake and looked me right in the eye and said, you can do it. I didn't believe them. If you told me this roof was retractable, I would believe it more than when they used to tell me that. But the words built my life. And words build other people's lives. Listen to Psalm 18:35. You give me your shield of victory and your right hand sustains me. Listen to this. You stoop down. God stoops down to make me great. I'm looking at some great people today. I'm telling you, you're beautiful. You're incredible. You're called. You're gifted. You're talented. You're anointed. You're blessed beyond measure. You're good looking. Come on today. Amen me on that. I said you're good looking. The hand of God is on you. He's got a great plan, a great purpose for your life. I want those that are going to help with communion, I want you to come. And I want you to prepare your heart as we prepare to receive the bread and the cup. As you receive it today, when you take it, hold it. And when you got it, just close your eyes. Ask God, what does he want to change in you today? Are you the instrument of love to the people around you that you're called to be? Are you a builder? Are the words that are coming out of your mouth, are they building? Are you helping somebody today to be a winner? Just take, hold the bread and the cup. We'll all partake together. When you receive it, just close your eyes, bow your head. Let God, let him speak into your heart today. This is a moment, I believe, before we move into another month, the last month of 2018. Let's make some significant advances in our personal lives, in our homes, in our families, with the ones that we love. It begins today. I'm not going to return evil for anybody else's evil. I'm not going to live a life. I'm going to get you back. You do this to me, you just wait. Karma is not a biblical term. You can say it. You can think, oh, they're going to get... No, they're not. That's not our desire. Our desire, if someone harms us, that they repent and that they will know and sense and experience the love of Christ in their lives. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. No heart of revenge. Somebody needs to hear that today. I'm just feeling a real tug on my heart. You may be here. You may have been angry for a long time over an issue. This may be your time. This may be your season to be completely free of that. To have a heart and a life that is fastened on Jesus and the things that He has for you and I. Thank you, Lord God. We praise your name, Lord. Jesus took bread in the night in which he was betrayed. He broke it, he blessed it, he gave thanks. He said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. As often as you eat this, remember what I have done for you." My brothers and sisters, let's remember the kindness and the grace of God. The Bible says that when we were faithless, he remained faithful. Let him work that in your life today as well. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Lord. In the same way he took the cup, he said, "This is my blood. This is the New Testament. It is shed for whosoever will come. Let them come." He not only covers, but the Bible says he takes away the sin of the world. Is the prayer that was so eloquently prayed at the end of worship. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for forgiving us of all of our sin. That is the central focus of the blood of Jesus today, the cross of Christ. He said, "When you drink this, remember what I have done for you. I've healed your body. I've delivered you from fear and brought peace into your life. I have transformed an iniquitous nature that may be in your bloodline, and I have transformed it to have now the nature and the heart of God inside of you." He said, "As often as you drink this, remember me." Let's partake of the cup of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those that are going to pray at the altar, would you come up here now? Spirit of the living God, we love you, we trust you, we believe you. We continually do things in and through our lives that we are unable to do in our own strength and our own ability. God, I pray for each one, and in particular in this season, the last month of the year coming, as we enter into a new year together, I pray that your hand would be upon your people. They would know your love like they have never known it before. You would continually work that in us, God. Purify us. Cleanse our heart, I pray. I pray blessing. I pray great favor, protection over every life here today. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I love you. The Lord bless you. Make sure you love somebody on the way out. Tell them, it's great to see them today. If you need prayer, come on up. Let these folks pray with you and for you today. God bless you.